A portside visit for Pope Benedict XVI this weekend. The Pope traveled down to the heel of Italy for a two-day pastoral journey that took him Saturday to Santa Maria di Leuca and Sunday to Brindisi, one of the country's primary harbors. The highlight Sunday, a papal mass and recitation of the Angelus Domini in the port of St. Apollinaire in Brindisi. Chris Altieri reports.
Pope Benedict XVI today offered anew the Christian message of cooperation and peace among all peoples, especially among those of the Near and Middle East. The Holy Father made his appeal in remarks before the Sunday Angelus prayer, which on this 11th Sunday of Ordinary Time he prayed with the faithful of Brindisi, on the heel of the boot in the extreme southeast of Italy, at the end of an open-air mass on the waterfront overlooking the port of the ancient city, where the Roman poet Virgil breathed his last, and where it is said St. Peter and St. Paul disembarked on their journeys to bring the gospel to Rome, the capital of the world. Quoting from his recent address to the United Nations General Assembly in New York, Pope Benedict said, "The action of the international community and its institutions, provided that it respects the principles undergirding the international order, should never be interpreted as an unwarranted imposition or a limitation of sovereignty. On the contrary, it is indifference or failure to intervene that do the real damage." Pope Benedict said, "What is needed is a deeper search for ways of preempting and managing conflicts by exploring every possible diplomatic avenue and giving attention and encouragement to even the faintest sign of dialogue or desire for reconciliation." During his homily in Brindisi, Pope Benedict spoke of the twofold Christian vocation to holiness and mission, which is present from the beginning of salvation history and given perfectly to the 12 disciples, whose calling by Jesus was the dramatic core of this Sunday's gospel. In the afternoon, the Holy Father met with the priests, deacons, men and women religious of Brindisi Ostuni in the Cathedral Church of St. John the Baptist. Pope Benedict encouraged them to place themselves ever more completely in the service of the gospel. The Holy Father also congratulated the Archdiocese on the newly opened seminary, which today was officially named after Pope Benedict XVI himself. The Pope said the seminary is a sign of the present and the future of the diocese, representing as it does the culmination of years of work, and at the same time the guarantee that because of the generous and patient work to be done in it, the Christian communities shall never be without shepherds of souls. The accurate formation of seminarians and the continuing education of priests and other pastoral workers, said Pope Benedict, are of the first concern to the bishop, to whom God has entrusted the mission of guiding, as a wise pastor, the people of God who are here in this city.
Well, earlier, I sat down with our resident Vatican expert, Joan Lewis, who tells us more about the Pope's visit to Brindisi, including some surprising historical tidbits about the port city.
This morning at 9:15, he met with local Benedictine and Carmelite cloistered nuns in the chapel at the Archbishop's house. And then at 10 o'clock, of course, he celebrated Mass, had his homily there at the Santa Apollinare Quay of the port of Brindisi. Now, interestingly enough, the name Brindisi, which actually we all know, a Brindisi is a toast you make if you...
In Italian, sure.
In Italian, a toast, two wine glasses or something, you know, you make a Brindisi. But Brindisi actually comes from the word brunda, meaning the head of a deer, which was inspired. I'm not sure exactly how you'd have to be looking at this, but it was inspired by the shape of Brindisi's natural harbor, and it's supposed to be the absolute best natural harbor and port on the entire, I think it's 8,000 kilometers of Italian coastline.
Well, Joan, you certainly have been doing your homework.
It's an amazing city. Well, you know, if you go online, too, and look at the pictures, these cities are beautiful, and ports and the history and everything else. And, of course, the Romans. I mean, Brindisi, we go all the way back to the Romans. They created colonies. The Via Appia, by the way, I don't know if you've ever seen this. I have. The Via Appia, which begins in Rome, the ancient Appian Way, and it went all the way south, east and ends at Brindisi. And in fact, there's a small piazza in Brindisi with some of the original Appian Way stones and several pillars from a temple that arose on the spot. Because they created like a mini Rome here. Beautiful cities and temples and government buildings and so forth.
And you were saying, in fact, in your when we were talking about Saturday's activities of the Pope, that he was down in Santa Maria de Leuca, that St. Peter, there are legends that St. Peter actually arrived down there.
Exactly.
And then made his way up to Rome from that area.
Dozens of places and shrines and little churches and chapels and towns and so forth were San Pietro in whatever it was, St. Peter in. And anyway, Brindisi has a wonderful history. And of course, even on September 19th, we know the exact day he died, 19 BC, the poet Virgil, who of course wrote the verses of the Aeneid, he died at his home in Brindisi. And this was one of the Roman, well, within the Roman Empire, so it wasn't a colony. Now, in Brindisi, we have the relics of Saint Teodoro, which were given to the city when you had the wedding between, in Brindisi, Ruggiero, the son of Tancredi, of course, who was the king of Sicily in 1191, was crowned. And then in 1225, Isabella of Brienne, the queen of Jerusalem, was married to Emperor Federico II, and as a wedding gift, she gave relics of Saint Teodoro, and they are in the cathedral church there. So
that would be Saint Theodore.
And exactly. Mm-hmm. And translated in English. And interestingly enough, I don't know how many people know this, Brindisi was the capital of Italy for a very short period of time, from September 10th, 1943 to February 11th of 1944. Because on the afternoon of September 10th, the commander of the naval base at Brindisi got a message from Rome inviting him to go to sea and meet a certain warship. Well, who was on that warship but the King of Italy, Victor Emmanuel II, his wife Elena, Prince Umberto, and the head of the government at that time and other ministers. And they had left Rome, and they had escaped, of course, for fear of being detained by the occupying German forces. They came without clothes. They came without anything. They had to go shopping in the area. And so for 5 months, the king remained in residence there when the Rome was liberated and so forth, and they felt they could go back. So where the king was, apparently, was also the capital of the country. Right. But Brindisi has many wonderful traditions. For example, there is once a year a procession which takes place, as a matter of fact, during the first week of September in celebration of the protectors of the city of Brindisi, St. Theodore and St. Lawrence of Brindisi. We've heard that name a lot. Mm. And the ceremony began in 1776, as a matter of fact, as a kind of a cult to St. Theodore. And interestingly, it extended then to include St. Lawrence because he was born in Brindisi. The procession begins at the Aragon Castle where relics and so forth of the saints are located. Many, many boats take part in this procession because part of it naturally is on the water. And the whole ceremony is in remembrance of a miracle of 1210 when the remains of St. Theodore were taken to Brindisi. He was, of course, a Roman soldier and martyr in the 4th century. And another name for this seaside procession, if you will, is called the Palio dell'Arca. And it's supposed to be a very wonderful thing. I've never seen it, but fireworks and light displays and ships in the harbor and so forth. So
that's interesting history
to Brindisi, and I'm sure the Holy Father was told a lot of this, the Christian part and the Roman emperor and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, another fact that we haven't mentioned is that Brindisi is one of the most important port cities from which the ferries go across to Greece and to Turkey eventually. And of course, another thing that we've been seeing here in Italy is a lot of demonstrations, protests going on, especially with fishermen and truck drivers for all the high fuel prices.
Yes,
they're having a very difficult time making ends meet. I'm sure that's one of the things the Pope is concentrating on as well this trip.
And undoubtedly, obviously, he reads newspapers and does watch television news, so he knows of the worldwide fuel crisis. Food, high prices of food, high prices of fuel, and we don't think about it all the time because you go into a restaurant, you buy the fish, but you don't think about what it does take, the manpower, the fuel, and everything else just to get that fish on our table. So again, you're right. That's a huge industry in the area. And one that is very, very badly hit. And as I said, Italy has 8,000 kilometers of shoreline and many ports, large and small. Obviously, the most famous probably is Genoa, but there's Bari, there's Brindisi, there's so many other ports, and even on the islands of Sardinia and Sicily. So, but this is an exciting time for the Holy Father to get to know Italy better. But you know what? I say get to know Italy better. Get to know it better as Pope, because he was in Rome for 24 years before being Pope as Cardinal Ratzinger. And so he did travel around Italy. He traveled around many other countries. And he's very, very well informed about the church realities, the political situations, not only in Rome, not only in Italy, but all around the world. And we get a picture of that many, many times in his homilies, in Angelus Reflections, and many other speeches that he gives. We know he's aware of the whole world situation.
And thanks there to Joan Lewis, our resident Vatican expert.